Hello everyone, welcome back. And now we're talking about creating and utilizing leverage. The question I ask myself, like almost every day, is, am I doing the most important thing I could be doing? Unless I feel I'm working on the most important problem that I can help with, then I'm not going to feel good about how I am spending my time. Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, said this and kicks off our chapter with this quote. Okay, so we have 9 tips in this chapter, and as the title says, it's about creating and utilizing more leverage so that we can do more with less. All right, tip 41, don't attempt to do it all yourself with a proven accountability structure. Can you do everything yourself? Of course not. Can your business ever grow to the next level if you think you must do everything yourself? If you answered no, you are correct. Figure out what you can delegate, what skills another person must have to accept the task, and how you can best hold that person accountable. By the time your business is a multi-million dollar business, it's likely that these questions have been addressed. You are the CEO. You probably have a CFO, a COO, a suite of VPs, and so on. However, the most effective way to delegate is to clearly define the roles that go with each function the company ideally needs. This process needs to be periodically re-examined. That's really important, by the way, really important. Even if you're the CEO of a successful multi-million dollar company, you need to continually look for new ways to delegate. Here's a quote by Goldstein. Goldstein's truism, 1001 logical laws. Success means only doing what you do well and letting someone else do the rest. Amen to that. Tip 42, collaborate with others. Collaborations are an important part of leverage. You can share information and expertise, jointly market to a mutually beneficial client base, and back each other up with capacity to get the work done. For example, company XYZ that one of us, namely me, worked with was in serious financial trouble and owed money to many vendors and colleagues. This situation had soured a number of XYZ's relationships. On top of that, several key people at XYZ viewed everyone who was in a somewhat similar business as a competitor. I suggested that we needed to mend some of those relationships. We repaired and strategically rebuilt a relationship with another company. On the surface, this company was competitive to XYZ. In reality, though, the two companies competed only in one small aspect. The remaining business areas gave lots of opportunity for collaboration. So then a while later, one of XYZ's main manufacturing machines broke down. They couldn't get a replacement part for 7 weeks. That meant they would not be able to manufacture critical parts for their number one customer, who in turn would have likely had difficulties to deliver their product on time. Had it not been for the collaboration with the so-called competitor, company XYZ would have gone out of business. The company was able, though, to take over the manufacturing step XYZ company could not complete until its machine was fixed. As a result, this collaboration saved two companies from going under. Helen Keller, American author, political activist, lecturer, and the first deaf-blind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree, said this, "Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much." And really, I base my entire work on that. Tip 43, accelerate your success by hiring a top-notch CEO business coach. As CEO, you are the leader, either of your own business or a business that has been entrusted to you. You are keenly aware of your responsibilities to your company and clients. A lot of eyes are focused on you and everything you do. You sometimes wonder, whom can I talk to openly about my challenges? Is there a safe place where I can, in complete confidentiality, explore things that are bothering me or that I might want to improve on? How can I examine goals and aspirations I'm not yet ready to reveal to the outside world? Hiring a highly experienced coach who specializes in working with CEOs is often a great idea. CEO coaches are trained in the art of asking powerful and exacting questions that will lead you to your own clarity or solution. They know what to ask you, when to ask it, and above all, they're great listeners as you sort through the possibilities. An excellent CEO coach will have great intuition and hear things you might not be verbalizing directly. Indra Nooyi, CEO of PepsiCo, said, "The only thing I have learned as a CEO is that leadership at various levels is vastly different. When I was leading a function or a business, there were certain demands and requirements to be a leader. As you move up the organization, the requirements for leading that organization don't grow vertically. They grow exponentially. Ask yourself, to what extent have you experienced that? And how are you dealing with that?" Tip 44, consider outsourcing selected business functions. Depending on the size of your company, outsourcing selected business functions can be a substantial cost-saving and stress-relieving decision. For example, take a CFO controller function. A business owner recently told us that she had outsourced all of her accounting and controller functions, including bookkeeping, accounts receivables, accounts payables, payroll, monthly statements, and more. At first, she could barely believe that with this move, her company was saving approximately $85,000 per year. She also said the services she was getting were actually done more professionally in a more timely manner. Wow! The services you want to outsource depend on a number of factors. Is there an outside service available that's sufficiently qualified to take on the task? What is the cost of the service versus the cost of hiring an employee? What is the cost of the service versus the cost of your doing it yourself? That's a really important question. What is your time worth per hour compared to the cost of the service? Could you do more profit-enhancing activities? And finally, does the service involve confidential information and can it be effectively safeguarded? Alfonso Jackson, 13th United States Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, said this, "The other part of outsourcing is this. It simply says where the work can be done outside better than it can be done inside. We should do it." Tip 45, use LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the most professional online network, and you need to be on it. If you're not on it, why not? First, it is a self-updating database of your contacts. Think about that, self-updating. As the people in your contact sphere move, change jobs, and change email addresses and phone numbers, you continue to have access to them. Your contacts are updating their own information, which saves you a lot of time. Secondly, inside LinkedIn is an excellent search engine. You can search for names of people and companies, past or present, keywords, locations, and much more. You'll probably discover that you had no idea your friends, neighbors, colleagues have such a fascinating background and or connections who can help you. The average annual income of a LinkedIn user is $107,000, and maybe actually more by now, much more than your average Facebook or Twitter user. All Fortune 500 CEOs are represented, and 49% of LinkedIn users have the power to make major buying decisions on behalf of their company. Get in the habit of connecting with people you meet on LinkedIn, assuming you want to stay in touch. Also, if you connect with someone, send him or her a personalized message rather than the canned version. As with all networking, building relationships is what matters most. This is a funny quote, but so true. The greatest irony is that people with Rolodexes are no longer LinkedIn. And if that pun doesn't make sense, don't ask anyone in your Rolodex to explain it. Ryan Lilly, author of the book Startup Balanced. This brings us to tip 46. Use public speaking as a way to increase your business success. Speaking creates not only visibility, but credibility, and quickly. Have you ever been in a room with someone and talked to him or her casually, and then an hour later you see the person publicly speak at the front of the room? Were you more interested in that person after the talk? Did you think the person had more credibility? Unless the talk was a complete bore, the answer is probably yes. Be that person. Get on the business platform. Seek opportunities to speak in front of audiences that contain your ideal clients or business people who serve that same ideal client in a different, non-competitive way. Clinton Swain from Frontier Trainings says, "Stage time is wealth time." stage time is wealth time. It bears repeating. Very important. Tip 47. Be a speaker at trade shows. At trade shows, especially high-tech ones, you typically find breakout sessions with specialty speakers, and there is an exhibit. Strongly consider seeking the opportunity to be a speaker at such venues. Make sure your talk gives valuable information instead of being a blatant sales pitch. Attendees will be more likely to see you as a knowledgeable industry colleague rather than a mere vendor who wants to sell them something. Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1940 to 45 and then again 1951 to 1955, said, "A good speech should be like a woman's skirt, long enough to cover the subject and short enough to create interest." Tip 48, write articles for credible publications. Similar to speaking, writing articles and being published in well-known publications aimed at the right target audience gives you credibility. Over time, you'll build a following. Writing a regular column is especially effective. Sylvia Plath, author of the book The Unabridged Journals of Sylvia Plath, said, "And by the way, everything in life is writable about if you have the outgoing guts to do it and the imagination to improvise. The worst enemy to creativity is self-doubt." Ask yourself, has self-doubt stopped you from writing articles and seeking credible publications that really do have the right audience? Tip 49, be involved in your community. Giving back to your community is important. You can strategically select one or more organizations to support. That puts you in the same playing field as your top prospects. Pick those most aligned with your talents and values. Be clear with yourself and the organization up front as to how much time and perhaps money you can contribute to their cause, and then follow through on that commitment. Mother Teresa, Roman Catholic religious sister and missionary, said this, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples." Think about our conversation about vision and think about how this applies there. And then, of course, apply it to tip 49, be involved in your community. Well, that does it for this chapter. I want to remind you to please stick with your commitment to write down an idea to each tip, or at least to each tip that triggers something in you. Take the minutes and do it. Let's make sure that we keep our worksheet filled up as we go through this week by week, so that in the 13th week, we can really look at it all and set some priorities. And with that, I wish you a fabulous, top-notch day, and I'll see you shortly. Ciao!